Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
We've been called Casket Empty. Casket Empty, the acronym, I'm not going to read what it is, but we talked about kings. You've been in this part about kings, and you learned about the nation of Israel. There it is right there, kings. See, we went from kings to exile. Kings, these kings were wicked, they were evil, and they didn't do what God was calling them to do. You got to get this. God commanded them to worship him and him only. I'm going to say that again. He commanded them, worship me and me only. And if you do this, blessing will be on the land. Now, how many of you understand that God can set before you and I blessing and curse, life and death? How many are you going to choose life? I don't want to be cursed. I don't want death. I want the good stuff. So what do I need to do in order to get that blessing? And all it is obedience. And obedience is always better than sacrifice. See, when you obey God, it costs. And you're going to learn a little bit about that this morning. It costs to serve the Lord. It costs. But these kings, they chose to do something a little opposite. They began to bring in these other nations. See, when they would conquer a nation, they would begin to take on what that nation had. And those nations were worshiping idols, worshiping false gods. And as they did that, they not only begin to worship false gods, but they begin to marry the people. And when they begin to marry the people, those things came with them. And next thing you know, they begin to do what those people were doing. So it started to be real dark in the nation of Israel to the point where God had enough and split the kingdom up. Half of them went to the northern part. The northern part goes into captivity. And then you have the southern part hanging on by a thread. See, there were some good kings down in the southern part. They were trying to do right. But you know what? The majority was ruling at the time. And so everybody wanted to continue to do wicked and do what was right in their own eyes. And so God had enough. He said, that's it. I'm done. But through the process, God began to raise up prophets, prophets like Ezekiel, prophets like Elijah, prophets like the one I'm going to talk to you about today, Jeremiah, to begin to call the nation back to their first love. See, their first love should have been and always should be Yahweh, the one true God. But they kept going back to the old ways, so he said, enough's enough. So this last straw, the last thing that broke them, God said, I'm going to send the southern kingdom into Babylon. And when they go into Babylon, now all of a sudden, it's dark, it's bad, they're in exile. So when you go into exile, you're banished from your home country. You're no longer where you used to be, where it was nice and good. Now you're somewhere where you shouldn't be. Can you bring up that picture, Izzy, if you have it? It's a picture that I think you made. If you don't, you see this panda? This panda stuck at the top of the tree. Now you're asking yourself, you may be asking yourself, how did I get there? How did I get there? How did I get from where it was so good? You know, it's probably good at the bottom of the tree, but now he's at the top of the tree and he's stuck and he can't get up there. He can't get down. How did I get there? And that's what's running through the minds of the people in Babylon right now. How in the world did we get here? And we're going to unpack this story through Jeremiah. So Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Why was he weeping? One of the greatest prayers that you and I can pray is, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. That prayer is dangerous because when you ask God to break my heart for what breaks yours, the thing that breaks God's heart is people. And not just any people, but people that are disconnected from him, his plan, and his purpose. And so he was known as the weeping prophet because he knew that the children of Israel should have never been where they were. So he lamented, he cried, he would weep when he'd have to say, thus saith the Lord to the nation, because he knew in his soul, this is not what we're called to be. So if you have a Bible this morning or you want to use your phone, go to Jeremiah 29. And we'll read verses 4 through 14. And this is Jeremiah speaking to the children of Israel on what is to come and what is to do while you're living in exile. Verse 4, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that you, that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets or the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them, they encourage you to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I've sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. What 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and I fulfill my good promises to you. Bring back you in this place, for I know the plans for you. Here's the money line. For I, say I, know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me and come pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and I'll find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found, declares the Lord. Declares the Lord. Jeremiah prophesying to these men and women as they're going into exile. The false prophets were being raised up all around. And the false prophets were telling the children of Israel that you're going to only be in exile for 2 years. 2 years. And so to them, it was just like, this is going to be easy. We're just going to be here for a short amount of time. So let us just kind of live the way we want to live and do what we need to do. But Jeremiah comes behind and says this: that's not what the Lord is speaking. Don't believe them, because they weren't sent on my behalf. That God didn't send them. What I'm speaking to you this is that I'm telling you that you're going to be in this land for 70 years. And when you live in exile, there's a certain way that you're supposed to live. And so how is it that I can come to you this morning and explain what it's like to live in exile? Because I too felt like when I moved to New Jersey almost 6 years ago, I felt like I was in exile. How does this feel when you feel like you're in exile? I remember waking up in a hotel in East Hanover, and I'm lying there in my bed, and I'm no wife, and my children are scattered all over the country somewhere, and I'm lying there just like that panda, asking myself, how did I get here? How did I get here? But the one thing I remember is this, is God is a God of promises. And God, what he speaks, he always does. And I remember lying in that bed, and I had this word that I was clinging to. The Lord had spoke years ago that I was going to send you to a place in a unique way. Well, I didn't get no more unique than to where I was lying in the bed in East Hanover, New Jersey. And I remember as I'm lying there, and I remember that word, the first thing that came to me was the first point I'm giving to you this morning, is that you have to learn to live in the moment. You can't start thinking about, well, 10 years from now, 5 years from now. I got to live in the right now. And I remember getting up and Pastor Adam coming and picking me up and taking me to church on Sunday morning when we were meeting at the Vineyard. And it said that you're supposed to build houses and settle down. See, when you settle down, settling down doesn't mean just I'm there, but my mind is somewhere else. Settling down means that my mind is right where I am. My mind is right where I am. See, Proverbs 19:21 says this: many are the plans of man, but the purposes of God are going to prevail. God had a purpose for bringing me here to New Jersey. God had a purpose for sending the children of Israel into Babylon. See, what happens is when you go through a dark moment, God wants you to begin to understand who he is. He wants you to know him. See, they knew of him, but they didn't know him. And when you're in your dark moment, God is going to begin to teach you who he is, that just like you heard, he is a provider, that he's a promise keeper, that he's always going to be there. The Bible says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And your children, as his children, you'll never be begging for bread. So I remember going to the Vineyard, and I meet this fiery redhead. And I meet this Irishman at the door as well. And these people just began to love on me. I had no family. Nobody was here with me. It's just me and them, just like the children of Israel. They had no family. They're exiled. There's nowhere to go to. That's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Because in this church, these people that you're sitting next to will become your best friends in your darkest moment, in your darkest hour. Don't run from the church, run to the church. Don't run from the people of God, run to the people of God, because you never know when that dark moment is going to hit your life. They were in a dark moment. They had no place to worship anymore because the temple is not there. All they had was what they knew from the past. But I thank God that I had a church to go to. And I remember hanging out with Pastor Dottie and hanging out with Jimmy. And then all of a sudden I began to meet Ed and Raquel and understanding who they were and what they were about. They began to love on me. And then I began to remember Joyce. And we're meeting in this small little place. And I felt like I was in exile because, man, it wasn't like it used to be back in the South, where church was priority, where people talked about God. See, they're in exile. There's no talking about God. There's no worshiping in the temple anymore. And you have to learn to live in the moment. And see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In weakness. It's weak right now. What is the scripture also saying? It's also saying that his grace is sufficient for the day. You have to focus on the day. You can't focus on tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. That's why they were looking so far ahead. No, 70 years you're going to be here. You need to plant. You need to build houses. You need to have children. You need to marry off your children. You're going to be here for a while. You need to go ahead and take root. I remember having to take root here. I remember hanging out at Ryan and Tiffany's house when I didn't have a house. Sleeping upstairs in their little room. It was nice up there, too. Hey, you need a place to stay, go out there in Long Valley. It's nice. I remember staying in their room and them driving me back and forth and helping me find a place to live. Just meeting people along the way. And so I had to learn to settle. So once I settled, and settling is hard because you're trying to get your footing. Is this where we're going to be for a long time, or are we going to be uprooted and have to go again? But you know, one thing I realized along the way also is that God never forgets his children. You got to get planted. He said to plant. Plant. What does it mean to get planted? The Bible says in Psalms 92:12, it says those that are planted in the house of God, they're going to begin to flourish. And I remember taking root in this church, getting planted, catching the vision of the house. Second point I want to make to you is God's promises never fail. They never fail. And so when I got planted in the house of God, I needed to hear what the vision of God was for the house. So you got to get a hold. What is God speaking to Pastor Adam? What is God speaking to Dottie? What is God speaking to the elders in the church? Because if I'm going to join something, I'm going to be a part of something, I got to know where we're going. And I remember them talking about a word that had come to this church about landing in Persephone. And this was before we even knew where we were going. Pastor Dottie and Adam roaming around trying to find a building and a place to go. And oh, somebody said Persephone, but we had no idea how we were going to get in Persephone. But once again, we're talking about settling. We're talking about fellowship. And so many people run from connect groups. I don't want to be in a connect group. I don't have time. I'm a worker. I got stuff to do, but I'm going to tell you, the connect group is what saved my life in this church. Because I remember meeting in that shop right there in Moores Plains. And we'd get in the Word of God with Pastor Adam. And I remember sitting there with Bob Parks and all the other men, Bob Lupin, excuse me, and other men and around that table. And we're just crying out to God for each other. And all of a sudden, we're crying out to God for a building. Pastor Adam, your pastor never wanted prayer for himself. He always cared about the church. Always. And when he would pray, he said, Lord, we need a building. If we're going to pray for something in this connect group, it's a building. And I remember we're praying and crying out. And all of a sudden, this old man speaks up by the name of John Parks. So Parksy, he says this, Parksy, he says, man, I'm going to a reunion and I may bump into the old former mayor of Parsippany. And if I do that, I hear he's in real estate and he has some connections in the area. Maybe he may know somebody. And I remember John Parks gives the number to Pastor Adam. Now your pastor throws the number to me. I don't even live here yet. I don't even took root. I'm still in a hotel. I don't have any. He throws the, you call him. No, you call him. No, it's like hot potato. I got to call this man, Frank Priori, the former mayor of Parsippany. We're back and forth. Hot potato. All right, I'll call him. And I remember picking up the phone and I call Frank Priori, and you got to get this. I'm scared. Because people in New Jersey are mean. I'm being real. I'm a Southern man. I'm nice. How are you doing? You know, come in my house, sit down, sweet tea. You know, we were nice up here. No. So I'm bracing for the cuss out. I'm bracing for the F-bomb. What are you doing calling me? Who the blank are you? Get off my phone. I'm bracing. And so I begin to tell the story. I'm like, Frank, I know you don't know me, but here we go. And I just begin to tell him exactly what's going on. And he says, you know, several years ago, I was on my deathbed. I needed a heart transplant. And he says, I remember cutting a deal as I was lying in the bed with God. If you give me the opportunity to live, I want to do something significant for you. And after I told him what we were trying to do as a church, he says, I think this is that significant moment. How can I help you? And so he gets on the phone and he calls his buddy that owns all the property here in this area. And he begins to tell him what needed to happen. And all of a sudden we meet over here at the diner. And we're sitting there talking and we tell the story of what we're trying to do in this city. So we're talking about being planted in exile, serving. He said to pray for the well-being of the city. Because as you go, so goes the city. I'll say that again. Pray for the well-being of the city. Because as the city goes, you'll go. And we began to tell that man exactly what we had to do. And so all of a sudden, he walks us over here. We walk in and I see this facility and I'm like, it's not big enough. Because God wants to do something big through us here in this city, in this town of Parsippany, but also not just this town. No, we got to knock all this down, and God wanted to give us all this over here to that side of the wall. Because we saw this right here before it was even anything. That word came to pass, and God put us in this church, and we began to dream big because we serve a big God. It does not return void. He said to Mary, increase and not decrease. Seek the well-being of the people. Prosper. You know, God wants you and I to prosper. He doesn't want you walking around. See, we don't serve a deadbeat dad. We serve a God, the maker of heaven and earth. He wants you to be blessed. And so I rolled up my sleeves, and you know what I began to do? I began to dream big as well. And I said, God, where can I live? I need to take root in this city. I can't live in that hotel. I got to have a place to live. And we began to cry out to God, and I'm driving around all up and down Route 10 and 46, and I'm on 80, and I'm on 287, trying to find somewhere to live. And all of a sudden, God opens a door in Booton. And I remember when I found my house in Booton, it was a miracle, because the way that God did it was because I was serving the people before I found the house. And the story goes like this. My son's playing football for a team in Booton, Pee Wee team, and I'm coaching. I'm just living in a hotel, and I'm coaching a football team. And you got to get this, because as I'm coaching the team, the clock's ticking, because you can't play in that community unless you live in the community. But I believe God, Lord, you've called me. My son is there. My kids are going to be here. I'm believing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God does a miracle and gives me that house. And you know the way I got that house is because when the house came on the market and everybody was trying to get it, the people that were behind it, the real estate agency that was selling the house, renting the house out, they said, we're going to give you the house because you are in our community. because we sponsor the football team that you're coaching. See, when you sow into the community, you get into the fabric of the community, all of a sudden the blessing of the Lord starts coming back on you. See, it's not how much you do, it's how you serve it with the right attitude. See, attitude will give you altitude. And I rolled up my sleeves and I began to serve in this community alongside Pastor Adam, alongside Pastor Dottie, alongside the elders in this church. We began to sow and serve. And as we began to serve, doors began to open for us. Why am I telling you this story? It's because God is not done with Every Nation New Jersey yet. So we're walking here in the back and we're looking at the children's church. And I'm sitting there and I told Pastor Adam, we walked one day on the back side over here and that side's empty. And I told Pastor Adam, I said, one day that side of the room is going to be for our young people. Because if you don't have young people, you're not going to have a church. I'm going to say that again. If you don't reach the next generation, you're not going to have a church. And so I said, Adam, we got to believe for this. This side of the room. Because if you can reach the community. See, I'm in the community. All my girls, my two girls and my son have gone through the community. My girls go to Knowles. One of them did. She's at Monmouth now taking all my money. But she's down in Monmouth. My other one just getting ready to graduate. She's a senior at Knowles. Looking right now to find out where to go. And my son's playing ball and goes to high school in Booton. So I had skin in the game. You better believe I was on my knees crying out to God for this community. What was the greatest thing we began to start doing right before I left was the prayer drive. And I'm going to challenge you as a church. Prayer fuels the fire. Get in your car on a Saturday morning and you drive through the neighborhood. We start here and we go up 46. We cut that back way. We go down 46. We cut across Beverly Road, come all the way up Route 10, come back around, and close again on Route 10. Why? Because we believe as you circle the city and you begin to speak prophetically, we're going to take this. We're going to get Denville. We're going to get Morris Plains. We're going to get Rockaway. We're going to get these areas that seem off limits to the people, but it's not off limits to God. We serve a big God. He doesn't promises never fail. They thought they were going to be in exile for a while. But you know what? The thing that was beautiful was that God would begin to show them that this is not the end of the story. Isaiah 55 says this, my thoughts aren't your thoughts and my ways aren't your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. My words do not return to me void. See, God has a word over this church. There's some things brewing and hovering over the church. And remember, God can't lie. There was a word brewing over the children of Israel as they're in Babylon. It's 70 years, but I promise you this, you're going to end up where you're supposed to be, back in Jerusalem. We're going to end up worshiping where we need to worship. There's words hovering over you this morning. Some things that God has promised you. Some things that God has said to you. But you have to lay hold of the promises of God for your life and for the people of the church and lay hold to it and begin to pray and declare and decree it over your life and you'll see it happen. I'm standing here with Pastor Dottie and I remember God began to stir me for New York. And I'm like, why do I need to go to New York? I have no desire. I'm happy. I get brownies from Jimmy. I don't need nothing. I got bagels. I can drive to my house. I'm good. But you know what? When God wants you to do something, either you're going to do it his way or you're going to do it the hard way. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, out of your mouth and from your heart, it always needs to be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I remember I had to leave here to go there. But I remember your pastor was so gracious and generous to say, go, brother, because I know what you got to do. And there was a word hovering over me to go. And when I landed in New York, I didn't know what God was going to do with me and through me. But I'm here to tell you this morning, because of going there, I learned so much from here, has been able to give me the blessing and the strength to take care of what I need to take care of over there. I've learned a lot here. My next point is this, is number three, is you cannot fear man. You fear God. When you're in exile and it seems different, because we're different in here, people. I'm telling you this morning, you're different. because people don't think the way you think. People don't go to places you go. You're different. And there's a moment where you're going to have to take a stand to be different in your community. You're going to have to stand up for things that are contrary to the world but are right in the eyes of God. And I remember coaching at that football team, and those guys would watch me coach. I didn't coach the kids down. I always coach kids up. I never speak down on youth because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. You can kill a kid when you speak down on them. And I remember these parents were watching me coach, and I didn't know this. People are watching you. Why do they go to that place on Sunday morning? Why do they go to that connect group? Why do they have their Bibles at their office desk? Why are they praying over their food before they eat? Why are they doing all these little things? People are watching everything that you and I do. But the main thing they watch is, how do you act under pressure? Are you going to serve him halfway, or will you serve him all the way? And I remember coaching these kids, and these parents were watching me, and all of a sudden this one parent walked up to me. She said this: "You're different. You're different. We watch all these other coaches coach, but you're different." And you know what that difference made? It gave me an opportunity to speak into the lives of men and women in a place that normally you wouldn't be able to speak. But if I'd have been scared, oh no, no, I can't share my faith. If I tell somebody about Jesus, they're gonna laugh at me. You know, I have a Bible study with some Wall Streeters in New York. And on this floor, I'll go up in this elevator, and it's chaos. You name it, it's going on. But when I walk in there in that lobby, and I get those men together that are coming off that trading floor, and you know what they're doing. It's not good. They come in that room, and some of them are getting born again. Some of them are getting married. Some of them are turning their lives around because I chose not to be afraid, but to serve God no matter what. You're going to have that moment. The last thing is this: be a blessing to the city. Be a blessing to the city. The prayer of Jabez was a big prayer back in the day. Everybody was praying in 1 Chronicles 4:10, "Oh God, bless me that I might become a blessing." If that's a prayer that you pray, "Oh God, bless me that I might become a blessing and increase my territory for you and keep me from sin," that's a powerful prayer. And I'm here to tell you that if you pray that prayer, God will answer it. He'll answer it. "Bless me that I might become a blessing. Take the gifts and talents that you place inside of me and use me to be a blessing to those around me in my community. Use me to do something great in my community. Sign up on the PTA board. Sign up on the YMCA board. Get involved in what's going on in your community and watch what happens when God shows up in your life." One of the best books I've ever read was about Bill Gates Sr. Not Junior, Sr., because you know Junior, or you know what he's all about. But I wanted to, what's the father doing? And the book was called Showing Up for Life. Showing Up. It's called Showing Up. And he began to tell the story about how it is that he's on all these boards. Why is it that he's got all these accolades? If you walk in his house, you see all these accolades, plaques, everything. And he said, "You know what? Half the time I'd go to these meetings and I didn't even know what I was going to say. But when I got there, all I knew is if I could just show up, something good could happen." Show up. See, when you show up in your community, when nobody else wants to show up, God will use you to be great, to turn some things around. And so I want to challenge us as a church to dream big. And if you're going to dream, dream for the next generation. Because while they were in exile, it wasn't about them there. It was about what was to come for their children and their children's children. Bless this house, so that this house can become a blessing for the next generation. Bless this house so that college students that are going to Seton Hall or going to Montclair or going to other places around here, Essex College, bless this house so that when those young people hear that there's a church that cares about them, they will know where to go and they can come and be restored and made whole by the love of Jesus Christ. That's what today is all about. It's about the next generation. You know, before I left, one of my greatest joys was to work with the youth back there. I had fun. Internally, I'm a big kid. And I had so much fun back there. And you know, we used to get around and I always challenge the kids like this. What are you going to be when you grow up? And they'd be talking, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm like, you know what? If you're going to do this and you're going to do that, the best thing you can do right now at this age is serve Jesus. Get to him now. Don't wait. Serve him at this age. They all sit there and look at me and they'll be like, you know, the million-dollar question would come out of their mind. When we playing cornhole, Pastor? That was a million-dollar question. Is it time yet to go outside? But you know, it's amazing. I still get calls from these young people. They'll text me. Back there in that room, they'll call. The ones that have moved on. Pastor, man, I remember sitting back there in that room with you. You didn't have to come back here with us. You could have stayed on the front row and all. It's just them. There's the next generation. And I went back there and I chose to speak life and encourage them. Same way I do with my girls and my son. I chose to speak life to them. Go be great. Go do great things. You know what? Some of them are doing it.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.